This What's Working Now interview features Chris Holman's conversation with advisor James Veal about his retirement lunch and learn strategy. James also answers additional questions about his marketing and follow-up processes from advisor client marketing associate Margarita Abramova. This second conversation is included in the episode immediately following James's discussion with Chris. Thanks, and enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to Advisor Radio from Horse's Mouth. I'm Chris Holman for Horse's Mouth, and today's segment is What's Working Now, where we speak with advisors who've offered us some insight into tactics and behaviors that are helping them succeed. And our guest today is James Veal, and James is going to discuss with us how he is using the Lunch and Learn retirement sessions that he's been leading for a while now. But first, James, welcome.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm so excited. I'm glad to be here.
As we are, James, so thank you. So, James, I'm really curious about you. Before we jump into the topic, tell us your story.
Yes. I'm a financial advisor based here in Philadelphia, and I've been in the financial services business for a little over 20 years. My first job was actually in this business. I was a Series 7 stockbroker with a small investment firm in New York. And our job back then, of course, was making about 500 cold calls per day. But throughout the years, I worked with several large insurance companies. I was a financial advisor for a couple of larger independent brokers here in the country. And I've also worked 5 years as a bank consultant as well for about 5 years. But I've always been entrepreneurial, and I always wanted to hang out my own shingle. And that's when I did start my own registered investment firm, believe it or not, back in 2008. And it was actually the same year, of course, the financial debacle. But I thought it was just a genius move, and I kid about that all the time, that, my goodness, I started a company in 2008 that was unbelievable. But it was fun. Nevertheless, as an African-American advisor, I've been one of the luckiest advisors around, I do believe, because there's a very small number of advisors working in my market, in the African-American market. So the competition here is quite thin. So, but it's been very, very good to us, and we're so happy to try to get that particular demographic educated as far as financial literacy, because it's a serious problem in that community.
James, I want to talk about that very much during our discussion, but when we asked you what's working now for you, you focused on, or you said, that you do monthly or are doing monthly lunch and learn retirement planning sessions,
uh-huh.
And I'm quoting you, you say that have been just phenomenal. That was your word.
Yes.
And you say it's a great way to get people to come out and learn strategies that they can apply right now. So there are so many questions I have for this. So how long have you been doing the Lunch and Learns?
I've been doing Lunch and Learns, I would say, for about 5 years. That quote is so accurate because it's been so unbelievable. It's changed my life, definitely, financially as well.
Wow.
But I've been doing it for about 5 years, and I work with a lot of the city employees here in Philadelphia. And we got lucky and got a list of all the people who were actually retiring.
Mm.
And that was that's just a gold mine. And what we do is we email these employees, and we have them come out to our monthly lunch and learns. And we have these lunch and learns from about 12 noon to about 1:30. We provide lunch. You know, we just, you know, purchase little sandwiches, chips and sodas and drinks and things of that nature. And it's been absolutely unbelievable. Just phenomenal. And we average around between 5 to 10 people each month. And, again, we have this list of about 3,000 employees in the city of Philadelphia who's retiring. So it's just been incredible. I could talk about this all day. It's unbelievable.
Well, we don't have all day today. but we do have a good bit of time.
Yes.
So, James, I've seen your website, and you have a lovely picture of a conference room there. I assume this is, or it sounds like this is where you're doing your programs.
You're absolutely correct, yes.
So, and you're doing the lunches, and I heard you say they last about 90 minutes?
Right. That's correct. Yeah, we conduct these in our boardroom, and about 90 minutes. And, mm-hmm. and the good thing about our location, because we are in Center City, Philadelphia, most yeah. of the employees downtown, they could just walk over to our office. So, you know, we have the boardroom. Our offices are here. My staff, we have a very small staff, by the way, about two other people. And but it's so convenient, so easy. And public transportation is so excellent as well. So it's easy. It's unbelievable. It's informal. Mm-hmm. And they just come over and join us for lunch. And word gets out, and it just grows, you know, each time. But we have to limit it. We limit right. it to up to 10 people.
Right. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a great number for you to connect with the people in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, because, you know, people have questions. Another thing about this, we get a great demographic, but majority of them are African-American. So
yep.
in that group, we may get 6 to 7 African-Americans and others as well. But it's an eye-opener for all of them because the information that we share with them, things that they probably never heard, you know. The city used to provide kind of these meetings for the employees and the retirees.
Mm-hmm.
And if I did forget to mention, a lot of these people who's coming in here are retiring within 1 or 2 years, by the way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we wish we had got them 10, 20 years ago, but we can only work with those who's retiring within a couple years. And mm-hmm. it's just awesome. So all the questions that they have and the information we share with them is just profound. So, again, it's so much fun, and we've been doing very well with those.
Well, I can absolutely hear your enthusiasm and excitement to serve this community. And at this point, so you've been doing these lunch and learns for, what, 5 years, you say?
Yeah. About 5 years.
The word must be getting out, and there must be a buzz about James Veal in Philadelphia.
You know what? That sounds good for my ego, but I guess that works. It does work. I also, Chris, I've been teaching this other course at Temple University in the evening. It's a financial literacy class for about 14
yep.
years. That's another great place a marketing strategy where word spreads is there as well. So it's a big thing here in Philadelphia. Of 1.5 million people.
Mm-hmm.
It's been absolutely awesome. Word gets out. And, you know, as long as we're doing the right thing, we're not here forcing products, talking about us. It's all about educating the people. Word gets out. If they like you, they trust you, they do business with you. And that's what's been happening. It's been unbelievable.
Right. Well, since you've said about unbelievable about 4 or 5 times today, I believe you, man. I believe you.
It is, Chris. It's just unreal. And I've been thinking about this. See, the thing is, when I was working for the other companies, for some reason, couldn't plan to do these things. It was kind of a little hard. You have to go through compliance. Not that I don't
yep.
have to go through compliance now, but it was so hard to put these things together.
Yep.
But I've been thinking about them for years, and I said, I cannot wait to put these together just to see if they work, because I've been hearing other financial advisors,
mm-hmm.
and especially on Horse's Mouth, which, by the way, I have to give you guys kudos. Probably the best marketing company in the world, by the way, you guys.
Wow.
Great information. I've learned so much from Horse's Mouth, and that's what made me start definitely doing these lunch and learns. It all came from you guys, and
mm-hmm.
it's been absolutely phenomenal. So I appreciate you guys as well.
Yeah, I want to talk to you in a little bit about how you serve the African-American community and just upcoming. But before we leave, the particulars of the lunch and learns. Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing these monthly. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. Every month except December.
Right. Same topic every month?
You know what? It is. We don't change. You know, we can add some things because some people want to talk about, you know, something else specially, maybe children rights or things like that. But we normally keep it the same way, retirement planning, income strategies, Social Security, you know, retirement, how not to run out of money, things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. So
mm-hmm.
they are all the same each month because we have different people.
Mm-hmm.
So we just keep it the same. It's so easy, and we just try to better the presentation. And we use some of Horse's Mouth presentations as well, some of the PowerPoints that you guys have. But
right.
we just try to perfect it. And, you know, it's never perfect, so that's the challenge, and that's the fun part. We do this ourselves, and I'm the main speaker as well. So,
right. So are you – I'm curious. Are people eating while you're talking?
You know what? I had to think about that one for a second because I know a lot of advisors wait. But no, you know what we do? We have them come in, sign in, and we have them eat right away. We do that. We don't wait. We're not trying to – not to say that we should wait and try to not force them to, you know, look at us or whatever. But if they're there to do business, they're there to do business. If they're there just to eat, they're there just to eat. We feed them right away. And it's just been working out. It's just been great. I don't know if it's a trick to that trade, but that's our philosophy. We just have them come in, sign in, eat, and we just start the presentation. It's been so much fun.
Now, are you using a PowerPoint? Are you using tell me what the room looks like. What's in front of me if I'm one of your attendees?
That's a great question. Again, we used a boardroom. It holds about 20 people. But we use a whiteboard. I love whiteboards because I love to write. PowerPoints, I really don't do a lot of PowerPoints because people tend to kind of fade away or they get sleepy or whatever. I don't know what it is. I'm an enthusiastic guy, so I love to just get up there and
That's
start
shocking
writing.
To me.
Sorry. And once I start writing, no, that's good, Chris. I appreciate that. And once I start writing on a board, they just watch and see things, and they don't know what's coming next.
Yeah.
So that's the excitement once we start. Once we get involved with it, it's really exciting because they have no idea what's, you know, to come next.
Yep.
But they're learning. It's exciting, and we try to keep it, you know, keep them up and curious about their financial future.
So the invite itself, you have this wonderful list. It's, boy, every advisor wants a money in motion list like you have.
No question.
But you have a wonderful list, but also a reputation. Your invites, are they all via email, or are you inviting in different ways?
In different ways. A lot of the city employees, for example, the sanitation people, they don't have emails. Some people work out of the office, so we do have emails with most of the people who are, you know, office people, personnel.
Yep.
But then there are those who work for the water department and other, you know, areas of the city where we don't have emails. So what we do is I have my marketing director – mail them out to them. So we mail the postcards out to them as well. And by the way, I have to make this point.
Yeah.
If people think direct mail is dead, they're absolutely wrong. We get more people who respond to the physical, tangible part of the postcards that we send out than the email.
You know,
so
James,
it's unbelievable.
No, I'm so glad you said that. Email is not nearly as effective as it once was. I say that because here at Horse's Mouth, we rely a lot upon email ourselves. So I'm so glad to hear you talk about how important the cards are.
They are so important, Chris. And, again, we get a bigger response from people who actually physically get the postcard. And we will actually send that postcard about 2 to 3 times, to about 4 months out for those who's retiring. So if we if we started in August – well, we're going to send them out from August to October. So they're going to get 2 to 3 of these things. And once they see it, you know, 2, 3 times, the more times they see it, the more responses we get. So that works.
Is there, I'll say, a consistency about time of day and time of month, each month, where you're doing your meetings?
Yes. Yes. Our meetings are every – it's on a Wednesday.
Okay.
It's on a Wednesday. I can't say it's the middle of the – it's normally in the middle of the month, every Wednesday, from 12 o'clock to, again, about 1:30.
Yep.
And that's consistent. So everything we try to do is consistent, like a system. You know, we're trying to have this system set up where, hey, these need to go out this particular day. These emails need to go out this particular day at this particular time. And we have that all set up in our operations manual, and that's what I teach the staff, to keep it consistent.
Yep. Before we shift to questions about your demographic and your mission, really, let me just a final question on the lunch and learns. For advisors listening out there who are hearing your enthusiasm and who are talking about how unbelievable it's been for you and your practice, I mean, what advice would you give to the person who's listening to us right now?
You know, just be enthusiastic. But the biggest thing is we have so much, Chris, and you know this, we have so much information, we have so much knowledge, we understand what's been happening out there for the last 20 years, especially in my case. I'm experienced.
Mm-hmm.
We need to share the information. If you're scared to speak, a lot of financial advisors I know would rather sit there and plan their funeral than to go out and speak to people. They do. And if you can go out and share your information, talk to people, and they see you, they get a feel for you, there's no other way. I mean, this is how I've been building my business. And believe it or not, I'm building a business in the African-American community, which is very difficult for most advisors because it's hard. They don't understand this. They don't understand capitalism. They don't understand money management. They don't have the skills. They don't talk about this at, you know, at the breakfast table.
Yep.
But for me, it's been easier because, first of all, I'm African-American, and when I talk to them, they look and say, wow, who the heck is this guy? And and that what prompts them to say, hey, you know what, maybe we need to talk to this guy. And it's easy. But if we can go out there and share information, Chris, to keep this short, they should do well. And just share the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Just share the knowledge. Teach a class. Do a lunch and learn. You know, teach. Get out there. That's what I do. I love teaching. And that's what's been building our business.
So, if we could, let's shift our discussion.
Okay.
I mean, let me just put it out there. I'm a white guy. I've been in the business 30 plus years. And let's just be direct and honest. Most financial advisors out there, or many if not most, I'll say, are older white guys. Women are underserved. African Americans are underserved. Asians are underserved. Latinos are underserved. So let's just be upfront about that. I don't think I'm overstating that. Do you?
No, not at all. You're being honest and you're being real. That's real. Yes.
Yep. And as I look at your website, I mean, one of your missions is to serve your community, African Americans who you say you feel and who in fact are underserved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tell me more about your mission and how you are doing this.
Yeah, it's a serious mission. I mean, there's a financial literacy problem throughout the country, obviously. But it's an epidemic in my community and Latino communities, underserved communities, as you mentioned. There's a duty. I mean, again, I've been in this business for a while, and I started off working with anyone. You know how that went. You know, we work with anybody who breathed. I mean, if you're breathing, we want you as a client.
Yeah.
Mine was going fine, but I wasn't really getting to where I was going. I was thinking, why am I sluggish? Why is it kind of – I'm struggling here.
Yeah.
And then I said, you know what I need to do? Probably there's a gold mine of African-American people who are making a lot of money, and they don't really understand about money. And I said, you know what? Maybe we should shift and just get this niche under control.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is a possible niche market of African-Americans who have money. You know, there's a need, there's a niche, and we have a product to solve it. So I said, that's where I'm going to go.
Yeah.
When I started that, I said, I need to go teach classes. I need to do some lunch and learns. I need to go out and it's been unbelievable. So African-Americans have money. Just to let the advisors know out there, and again, it's a small demographic, though, but, you know, I'm a big fish in a small pond. And I have no competition. I mean, there are some people. And by the way, Chris, I have to say this because, you know, we're saying this up front. There are a lot of African-Americans scared to say that they're African-American financial advisors.
Yeah.
They're scared to say that because they think they're going to hurt someone else. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I would love to help everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I found this niche market that I can't get away from because no one's working it, and I have so much business, and it's referrals.
Yep.
It's referrals, and this thing is still moving.
Yep.
So why, you know, I can't get away from that. So it's a great market, and it's been fun. It's just been fun.
Well, the other thing that comes up just in hearing you and looking at your website as well, African Americans or not, I mean, your values, financial literacy and knowledge and education are coming through loud and clear, and to my estimation, many investors out there need more literacy and education, regardless of their color or race or ethnicity. I tend to feel that investors are underserved in the whole area of financial literacy and education.
No question about it. There's no doubt about it. Like I said before, I mean, there's a problem here in the country with that, and we're the best people, you know, positioned to help them. But can you imagine the people in African American, Latino communities? They have no representation. I mean, there are some people who are out there, but these people aren't professionals. They may be these, you know, people who work for some of these small firms that I can't even mention that, you know, they push them out there to sell these things and maybe not be appropriate. Some are. Most of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
But and I've seen them. But when they come across professionals like, you know, you, I, and the listeners, I mean, you know, it's unbelievable. But the thing is, we need to find our niche. And I hear the word differentiation all the time. But I think that's good. But I think that word really means competition. And if we can find a niche market, which I love that, niche or niche, whatever they say, my niche is that market. And again, we just need to be a big fish in a small pond. I mean, if I was with even in a white community, I would still try to find some type of niche within that community, whether they're, you know, yacht lovers or athletes or entertainers or whatever. We have to find a niche, and that's the key. That's the goal. If we can find a niche, it's easy because now we just spread the word, and it's all referrals after that. But I still continue to educate because I came from that community, you know, African-American community. I was raised in a housing project, Chris, and but I never was part of it because my mother and father – we believe in education and sports, and that's what kept me away from that. And I always wanted to work on Wall Street. And I'm living my dreams. So a lot of the problems in this country that I see African-American men, I feel bad for them because they don't understand that. You could be anything that you want to be in this country, but, you know, they look at it as white and black, and a lot of times it's not that. You just go out there and work hard, study, and you could do anything you want. So I hate excuses, but – that's my community, and we are educating them, and we're doing phenomenal.
James Veal, what an honor and a pleasure to speak with you today.
It was awesome, Chris. I'm sorry it was so short.
Well, you know what? Something tells me that you and I are going to be speaking in this venue again.
Well, that sounds great. I hope so. I'll keep you up to that.
All right, my friend. James, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a great pleasure. Have a great one.
You too. So,
thanks.
You've been listening to James Veal, who's been telling us what's working now for him. This is Chris Holman for Horse's Mouth. Thank you so much for listening, and let's talk again very soon.
What were some of the topics you discussed during your presentations? Like, well, what are some of the things that you talk about?
Well, we talk about definitely retirement income planning. You know, a lot of these employees don't know how much they should be getting, you know, how much money they should be making or their salary after retirement. So we talk about those things. I have this thing where we call why you treat your money, you know, why shouldn't you treat your money like a ATM machine? How to maximize Social Security and pension benefits. We talk about that. Strategies to protect and grow their, you know, retirement nest egg. We even mentioned sometime health care and the medical costs, things of that nature. And, of course, we talk about debt because a lot of African Americans are in debt. So that's well, most people are, but especially that community. And that's some of the topics we talk about.
Okay, great. And then, what are some of the questions that you get from them? Like, what are their feedback, their questions? What do they ask you?
A lot of them ask, well, James, before I came to this meeting, I already had my, you know, a plan of spending this money. And I have to let you know that a lot of these people here in the city, they get a pension. They get a distribution sum of money, which is average around $150,000. And some, of course, applying for Social Security. But most of the questions is that they was going to use this money to pay their house off, pay down the debt, and spend things. So 47% of the people here, they have to go back to work after 5 years because they don't know what to do with their money. They're spending their money. So the problem is, hey, James, what should I do with this money? But before coming to these lunch and learns, though, they already had in their mind this money was half of it was spent, it was gone. And that might not be the right strategy. So we try to cover some of those different strategies or options that they may want to take a look at they never heard of before.
Got it. Wow, that's a great button and pain point. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. And, okay, so now you said that the postcards that you sent out have been very successful. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. They're awesome. They're
okay,
awesome.
Well,
I've taken a couple years to create it because I'm thinking of the right colors, and I'm a perfectionist, and I try to send out the nice colors and picture, and I said, what should I say? And we've been, you know, using these, but they've been very, very effective.
Yeah. Okay, well, could you tell me a little bit about the messaging that you use on these postcards? Like, what are you saying then? What kind of imagery do you use? What kind of colors?
What? I was reading. I'm a reader. I read so many books, so I'm all over the place. But I was reading this book about, you know, colors compared to what people feelings are, or whatever it was. But it was blue and yellow. So I always use a lot of blue and yellow because it just brightens it, you know. So my title, for example, for the employees in the city of Philadelphia is called Your Roadmap to Retirement from the City of Philadelphia. And we just have this 10-hour free lunch and learn. But it's just awesome, and I just put a lot of information on it. Not too much, but enough to let them know to, you know, their curiosity should be challenged. But we have retirement soon, and we have some different bullet points, and I'll be happy to send it to you. But it's on my website, by the way. So if you go on the website.
Okay.
It is. You can go to a website and go to financial classes and seminars. It's up there. And
okay.
I think it's up there.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just use one postcard? Do you use a couple of different ones?
You know what? I use just one postcard. And as I was speaking with Chris, I send this out probably 2 to 3 times within a 4-month period. So say, for example, someone's retiring in December, you know, they're going to get this card a few times, especially those who don't have email. And as I was saying, Margarita, a lot of these people today, since no one's getting mail anymore, guess what?
Yeah.
When they start to get mail, all of a sudden they said, hey, I can touch this. And they see pictures. They see color. And it's excite them. So a lot of them, and I'm sure some of them probably still throw it out, but our returns are pretty high. So, and the responses are pretty high. But we send it out a few times, and you know, hopefully they call back, and they do. A lot of them do.
Very nice. okay, and then I just had one final thing. So you've been doing a lot of these lunch and learns. What are some of the results that you've been getting? Have you been signing clients off these lunch and learns, or spreading good word of mouth?
I have. I tell you what, the most we ever had was about 20 people, and the lowest we had about 2. But you know what?
Okay.
There's always someone who becomes a client. Out of 5 to 8, I would say probably maybe half of them, maybe a little bit more, and I would say maybe half of them would become clients.
You mean out of 5?
We're going to get 1.
Okay. Oh,
if we have 5 people, we're going to get 2. If we have 10, we probably get 3 to 4. It's just been that ratio. Oh my God, it's unbelievable. And they tell someone, you know, and some flyers to go hang out, you know, hang these flyers on their posts, the bulletin boards at work, and you get other people. But again, we limit it to 10. We still try to limit it to 8 to 10 people. So there's always people pushing to get into the next seminar, and that's how we like to keep it.
Okay, great. And then do you have a follow-up process? Like after the lunch and learn, how do you get in touch with these people again?
That's a great question. Again, we try to put a system together to call these clients within 48 hours. We normally don't do it the next day, and I guess not to seem desperate, but we definitely do it within 48 hours.
And
because they're anxious to hear from us. I mean, we have some people, we waited a week, and they say, hey, James, you didn't call, you know? So we ask for their name, we ask for their home number, we ask for personal information, we ask for their date of birth. So we know if they actually record these when they sign up, because we do give them these evaluation sheets at the end. I didn't talk about that, but we have them fill out information, and, you know, and they fill it out, and that's how we get the addresses and all, and keep up with them. But, yeah, we contact these clients by phone, by the way. We don't send email. Yeah, so if they leave their phone numbers at work or at home or mobile, we call them. If they don't, right. then we email them because that's all we have. But most of them do leave a phone number, so we actually pick up the phone and call them.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, great. That's all I had. Thank you.
Excellent. You're welcome.